Good morning, my name is Sherrod Eddington. I'm pastor of the First Presbyterian Church here in Lebanon. Our reading this morning is from the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Hear these words. Then, one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray them. Our day-to-day lives are full of transactions. Some are great, but most are fairly insignificant. A transaction is an agreement between two parties to exchange goods and services. I would say, I will agree to mow your grass if you give me 2 dozen fresh eggs out of your chicken coop. Okay. I will walk your dog this week if you will feed my cat next week. Okay. I will give you this cow if you will give me your daughter in marriage. But then money came along and things got a lot easier. We didn't have to carry around cows and sheep and pigs in order to exchange things. You can say, if you will give me that cantaloupe, I'll give you these green pieces of paper. Great. Everybody's happy. Our transaction today is, I will give you a sermon if you put your money into the offering plate. I think that's fair. But we have these transactions which guide us through our day-to-day lives, and they make, well, the day just go by much easier. Now, I work in a church, and churches are great places to work because, as any of the preachers will attest, crazy things happen in churches just all the time. There are people stopping by. There are people who call you on the phone constantly offering you a transaction. Usually it's nothing that you want. And they get upset when you tell them, "I'm sorry, I don't really need that diesel-powered water balloon launcher for my ministry." And they say, "But you..." "No, I really don't. No." The other day, got something in the mail, speaking of transactions, that really caught my attention. Normally the mail, I would just let Christy handle the mail, but I happened to see this, and it was from a crematorium. Apparently, there is a new crematorium service nearby. It's not in Lebanon, it's back in Hermitage. I am not endorsing these people in any way, because I have worked with all the funeral directors here in Lebanon, and they are wonderful, outstanding people. So use them. Trust them with grandma. Not the folks who sent me the flyer, not just for cremation services, but discount cremation services. And they were nice enough to list everything that their discount cremation services offered. Well, there's picking up the body, $125. Well, how much would I charge to pick up a body? A lot more than that. But I was thinking, well, you could call Uber. $20 right there. Now, they'll probably only do it once, but that's all you need. And let's see, what were some of the other charges? Oh, there was storage and refrigeration. That's free. They throw that in free. Probably hang there next to the deer they shot back in the fall. But good enough. There was a lot of paperwork charges. Oh, and at the very end, there was $25 to pay the permit fee to the state of Tennessee. Because apparently cremation is a highly regulated industry, and the state of Tennessee doesn't really want you holding a Viking funeral in the backyard. And, you know, you would say, well, Dwayne loved that barbecue pit. He built it himself, but that does not give you the right to barbecue Dwayne in the barbecue pit. So that's the cremation. The cremation people are offering you a transaction. You give them money, they will take care of the corpse for you. And it's a one and done thing. You only get cremated once. And ironically, the cremation company is located next to a pawn shop in Hermitage. And pawn shops work on a completely different idea of transactions. You go in, if I give you my stuff, will you give me money? But hold on to my stuff because I may come back and we may do this again. Cremation, there are no mulligans. You just do it once and you're out the door. Our scripture reading today focuses on a transaction. Focuses on the words of Judas, who said to the chief priest, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" A simple transaction. What will you give me? And they settled on a price, 30 pieces of silver. Now, we don't know how much 30 pieces of silver are worth. Some scholars say it was very little. Some say it was quite a bit. But it doesn't matter because Judas offered this betrayal service and they were able to settle on a price to betray Jesus. Now, we don't know much about Judas, even though he's central to the story of all four Gospels. Very little is said about him. In Matthew's Gospel, where we read this story today, he first appears in chapter 10 in the listing of the 12 disciples. And Matthew very helpfully adds the parenthetical statement, "He was the one who would betray Jesus." He's identified as Judas Iscariot. Again, we don't know what this word Iscariot means. It could mean that he was from the village of Kerioth. Now, in Matthew, we see him in chapter 10. He appears again in chapter 26, our reading for today, where before the Passover meal, early in the Holy Week, Judas leaves the group, and he goes and he finds the chief priest, and he makes this transaction with them. Again, we really don't know why he did that. Now, thousands upon thousands of preachers have preached thousands upon thousands of sermons with an explanation of why, but we really don't know. It may have been greed. It was probably more fear than anything. But we do know this, that it was part of God's plan for salvation. This was part of God's plan that goes back to creation. So Judas, in chapter 26, goes to the chief priest and makes this agreement. And then, a little later, at the Passover meal, Jesus says, "You are going to betray me." And he says, "Certainly not me, Lord." And then a few paragraphs later, yes, he is leading the authorities to Jesus in the dead of night. And then in the next chapter, chapter 27, he goes back to the chief priest, throws his money at him and says, "I'm not having anything to do with this." And then he goes and hangs himself. That is all we know about Jesus, about Judas. But this Holy Week, right here on Wednesday, right in the middle of the week, I believe is an excellent time to examine those transactional words that he had. What will you give me to betray him? And ask ourselves honestly, when do we use these words? When do we say, "I wonder what I'll get if I betray Jesus"? And you are all going, "Not us. We're going to do just what Judas said at the Last Supper. Not me. Certainly not me." But hey, he did. But we also know that Peter, for example, betrayed Jesus. Well, it was the denial, but really, it's the same thing, isn't it? To say, "I don't know who he is," to completely disassociate yourself with this man because you're scared for your skin, doesn't make it okay. And that is a betrayal. You have betrayed that relationship. So a denial is as good as a betrayal. So when have we denied Jesus? When have we entered into that transactional mode to say, "I wonder what I'll get if I, well, forget that I know him, or I turn to other gods instead," or any number of ways that we can do what Jesus asks us not to do. When we ignore a neighbor, when we ignore suffering, when we fail to help someone in need, when we hurt somebody. These are times that we betray our Lord. And this is what we must ask ourselves this week. When do we do this? And how can we stop? Because it is a transaction. And finally, in this Holy Week, as we come closer and closer to Easter, we know what that represents. That Jesus has been crucified, but he has resurrection as well. New life, the power of God is made manifest in this man. But we have to remember that that is also a transaction. And yet Jesus asks nothing from us. Jesus gives his life and asks nothing from us. That is the gift of the gospel. That is the gift of the resurrection. That the grace of God is free. And it comes to us. No strings attached. That is what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. He is risen for us, asking nothing in return. That is the gift. I would like to conclude reading from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the wonderful words which we call the Christ hymn, which summarizes the life of Christ so well. Paul writes these words: Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God, Jesus Christ is Lord. These are the words that we must remember this week as we recall that Jesus gave himself that we might have life. Amen.